This coming Friday evening, Deacon Raymond Kalima will be ordained a priest here at the cathedral for service in the Diocese of Spokane. And if you are going to attend this celebration, I would encourage many of you to do that. You will witness Bishop Daly anointing the hands of Raymond with sacred chrism. And as he anoints his hands, the bishop will say this: "The Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father anointed with the Holy Spirit, guard and preserve you, that you may sanctify the Christian people and offer sacrifices to God." The priest's hands are anointed because it is through his hands that he will bless and confect the sacraments, most especially the Eucharist. After the anointing, the priest wipes the excess oil off of his hands with a linen cloth called in Latin a maniturgium. And there's a long tradition that the priest keeps the cloth soaked in oil until the death of his mother, at which time it is buried with his mom as she's holding it in her hands. And according to tradition, when she stands before our Lord in judgment, Jesus asks her, or says to her, "I have given you life. What have you given to me?" And at that point, she's able to hold up the linen cloth and say to Jesus, "I have given you my son as a priest." And at this, Jesus grants her entry into eternal paradise. I mention this tradition today because, as Father acknowledged, today is Mother's Day, but it's also Good Shepherd Sunday, World Day of Prayer for Vocations. And in our gospel this morning, Jesus makes it clear that he is the shepherd, and his flock of sheep are all of us, members of the church. He says to his disciples, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Christ himself is the Good Shepherd, the model priest who knows his flock, who protects them from the jaws of the wolf, from the evil one roaming about seeking the ruin of souls. He is the model priest and Good Shepherd, giving his life so that others might live. It seems to me this is an important gospel reflection as we observe now the 53rd World Day of Vocations, a prayer for vocations, as instituted by Pope St. Paul VI. And because this is also Mother's Day, we are reminded of the importance of a mom in nurturing and fostering the vocation of her son whom God is calling to the holy priesthood. Priests don't just fall out of the sky, huh? They come from ordinary moms and ordinary families with lots of virtues, but also a fair share of imperfections. That was true for the first priests and bishops of the church, the apostles, and it is certainly true for us as priests today. It's an important aspect of the vocation of motherhood to encourage sons to be open to God's mysterious call to be a priest. Some moms, however, I know, hesitate to do this. And when asked, they will say things like, "Well, I don't want to push my son," or, "I want my son to be happy." And I understand that, but I can say with all certainty, it is a profound privilege and joy to be a priest. There is no other vocation that, for me, there's no other vocation that would have made me happier than being a priest. I can't think of anything else. happier in this life, and, God willing, more importantly, happier in the life that is to come. That is not to say the priesthood has always been easy. I have encountered crosses and difficulties in priesthood that I don't think I could have imagined when I was a young seminarian. And when you think about it, married couples could say something very similar. Very similar. Because any true vocation from Almighty God has profound joys and at times heavy crosses. Why is that? Because it's the nature of the Christian life. That as disciples of Jesus, we will, as true disciples of Jesus, as authentic disciples of Jesus, we will encounter the cross. So again, for moms worried about their sons being happy, just know that for this priest, there is nothing that could have made me happier than answering this vocation. I think many of you know that I was rector of Bishop White Seminary for 11 years. And over the course of those years, I helped many young men from Spokane as well as from other dioceses and archdioceses to prepare for service at the altar. Over the years, I had the joy of attending many ordinations and of witnessing many sets of hands anointed with sacred chrism. I had the honor of vesting some of these men and of preaching at their first Mass. Sadly, I've also experienced the great disappointment when a couple of these men left the priesthood after only a few years of service. Priests must be realistic about their vocations, which means that we are still human beings in need of a personal, intimate, and ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we must remember that Satan has absolutely no interest in the church producing faithful and dedicated priests. And I guess that's one of the reasons why my favorite prayer for priests was written by St. Teresa of the Child Jesus. It's a very realistic prayer that speaks to the mystery of one's vocation. This was her prayer. O Jesus, I pray for your faithful and fervent priests, for your unfaithful and tepid priests, for your priests laboring at home or abroad in distant mission fields, for your tempted priests, for your lonely and desolate priests, for your young priests, for your dying priests, for the souls of your priests in purgatory. But above all, I recommend to you the priests dearest to me, the priest who baptized me, the priests who absolved me from my sins, the priests at whose masses I assisted and who gave me your body and blood in Holy Communion, the priests who taught and instructed me, all the priests to whom I am indebted in any other way, especially, and then she has parentheses to call to mind those priests who have touched our lives in a special way. And she ends by praying, O Jesus, keep them all close to your heart and bless them abundantly in time and in eternity. Amen. Again, I love this prayer because it is so grounded in reality. It reflects the temptations, the sorrows, and the great joys of this vocation. And the mystery of this vocation is profoundly serious because the Catholic Church would cease to exist without the Eucharist. There is no church without the Eucharist, and there is no Eucharist without priests, and there are no priests without mothers. When I myself was ordained a priest here in this cathedral in 1992, after I wiped the sacred oil off of my hands and onto a linen cloth, I saved the Manaturgium. I am somewhat frustrated and a little embarrassed to say that over the course of the years, I'm not exactly sure where I put it. I don't think I've lost it, but I got to find it before my mother dies. But if I don't find it, I guess I thought I could maybe write her a note or something. So my mother's here today, so you get a note, Mom. In any event, perhaps in light of the realities of priesthood and the realities of life, we could end World Day of Prayer for Vocations by using that prayer written for priests by St. Teresa of Child Jesus. I had it printed in your bulletin, so if you have your bulletins with you, you can look to page 9. And we'll pray it together, and then when we get to the especially part, we'll just pause to call to mind some of those priests who've touched our lives in a special way. And again, I hope you could take it home and maybe cut it out, put it on the bathroom mirror or in a book to pray for it regularly. Together, O Jesus, I pray for your faithful and fervent priests, for your unfaithful and tepid priests, for your priests laboring at home or abroad in distant mission fields, for your tempted priests, for your lonely and desolate priests, for your young priests, for your dying priests, for the souls of your priests in purgatory. But above all, I recommend to you the priest dearest to me, the priest who baptized me. Blessed. The priests at whose masses I assisted and who gave me your body and blood in Holy Communion, the priests who taught and instructed me, all the priests to whom I am indebted in any way especially. O Jesus, keep them all close to your heart and bless them abundantly in time and in eternity. Amen.